Maybe he'll deliver us now. Maybe this is the point of crisis. Yeah, people thought that. You know, a lot of them probably didn't believe he was the Messiah. They usually like to portray that in the movie, that was Judas' motivation, was to somehow provoke Christ to take violent action against the Roman oppression. But we can only speculate. You know, who knows? A lot of it is just crowd mentality. I mean, there's so many minds, and then the thing becomes like an organism to itself. In any case, the chief priests were the motivating factor, and they put the idea into their heads, have him crucified. And once the crowd makes up its mind, it's not likely to change. And Pilate, once he asked, he would not ask a second time, or a third time, if you will, because they cried exceedingly, and he wanted them to be content. He didn't want an uprising on their holiday. So, all right, Barabbas. Because that was the custom. And no matter how badly he wanted to crucify Barabbas, he was going to be crucifying Jesus instead. And once again, that shows the power of God. Because God hath ordained before the foundation of the world that Christ would be the lamb slain. That he would be the sacrifice for sins that all the Old Testament sacrifices were merely a shadow of. Now people say, well, why all this blood and sin? Why does blood have to be shed for sin? Like, what's the underlying logic to that? That his son should be sacrificed. I say, well, why would he sacrifice his son? Why? His son and he are one. God himself could offer himself through the person of the son. Because God, the Father, is invisible. He's not a man. He doesn't take form. In fact, when God takes form, it is the Son. That is the nature of the Son. The Son is the image of the invisible God. As soon as God takes form, it's the Son. And I suppose that may be kind of a weird thing to throw in here. But the Son being made flesh, he sacrificed himself to make an offering for sin. The life is in the blood, according to the scriptures. And as you know, when your blood goes out, you don't live anymore. And the shedding of blood is a price being paid. It is said that sin is purged with blood. He pays a price. He gives something up in exchange for something else. That is the new covenant. Covenants were always made in blood. This new covenant would be made in the blood of his son. And they say, but Paul, I still don't understand this whole shedding of blood thing. Why is that effectual to the removing of sin? But the best explanation really is that it is what God has ordained as the cost for such things. It is what the way God had said, you know what? There's going to be evil. I'm going to make the world in which there's going to be evil and sin. And the way in which that I'm going to forgive these things and that I'm going to turn people from these things is by the sacrifice of my son. Looking forward to that act, therefore, I will place the blood of animals in the meantime as history comes to its fullness. Because that is the teaching of Christianity. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. It cleanses us from our iniquities. It turns us from our unrighteousness. That is the power it has, not because blood does anything, but that God says that because of this, that. And it's done because this is the way it seemed good to him to do it. God did not do it in such a way as to impress men, but rather in such a way that he thought was well. It pleased him. God is not trying to impress us and to make things so that we say, ah, what a good idea. Yeah, you sure are smart. In the parable of the workers in the field, one of my favorites, the ones who worked all day received a penny that they had agreed to, and the ones who worked an hour received a penny, and they had not agreed to anything except that he would pay them what was right. And the ones who worked all day thought it wasn't fair. And that's how man is. Man is never pleased with God. Man's eye toward God is evil because God is good. God is granting to some eternal life. And if he wants to do it by one particular way or by another particular way, what is that to you? As the servant of Naaman the Syrian said of the words of the prophet, it was Elijah or Elisha, it doesn't matter, one of the two. At the words of the prophet of God, he said, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you doubtless would have done it. But all he said was to dip yourself a certain number of times in the River Jordan. And he said if he'd asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And I think some people would be pleased if the Christian religion was a little more complicated. The foolishness of preaching, the foolishness of faith is a great stumbling block to many people. But that's how it's supposed to be. And there is a great deal of controversy among people about what this all means and why this has to be. And for me, the answers lie in God's sovereign choices. There are explanations, but they're not going to satisfy everyone. Blood atones for sin. Well, you know, that's nice to say that, but why? Why does blood atone for sin? And every question eventually comes down to, because that's the way God determined that these things would be. And it's a very unsatisfactory answer. Just like the one penny was very unsatisfactory when they saw people who worked less getting the same amount. It was unsatisfactory. They had agreed for a penny in the beginning. But then when they saw other people who worked less getting the same thing, they were very grieved. And they grumbled and murmured against the master. And this is a parable from Matthew. But I recommend my study in Matthew. I realize I've done a lot more in-depth on a lot of things in Matthew, and Mark is definitely a supplement to it. But there were parables there that aren't in Mark, and there'll be things in Luke that aren't in either. But it's important that we understand that man is never going to be satisfied. It's not a question of satisfying ourselves. It's a question of accepting the teachings of God. Because without some sort of acceptance, and really it has to be given to us to accept. Because I know there are some people who would just shake their head and say, I can't accept it. And I'd say, I know. I know you can't accept it. And that is satisfactory to me. Because I know that not all can receive it. Not all can receive these words. Not all can receive it. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, though his blood shed, is for the remission of our sins, to make us free from sin. Why does that work that way? There are explanations. I did the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it talks all about it. How he entered one time and by his blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, right? That still doesn't really answer the question, does it? Why? Why is all that the way it is? Why, you know, why does the world work the way it does? Why do we have to be born like this? Why doesn't God just create a perfect world and da da da? You know, it's like, well, eventually by asking these questions, we should arrive at the point where we realize, you know, if God did it differently, I wouldn't even exist. So from my perspective, I should be thankful for that which I have. At the beginning of the day,